Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey, good morning and welcome in. It's Cap J. Hood on ESPN 1000 First Midwest Bank Studio. Hoodrow, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
Life good?
Life is grand. As they said back in the day, life is grand.
Keep it that way.
Absolutely. That's not changing because I wake up every morning with a successful Bears season to look forward to. 5-1 for the Chicago Bears. And there's still remnants, still swirling in the stool that we haven't been able to get out just as of yet.
Yeah, it's funny watching both games. Good morning, Danny, JR, Jeff. I'm sure Danny had all afternoon. Meller, they don't have any other responsibilities. They were watching both games intently. Right, Danny?
There were two games on last night?
Yeah. Chiefs-Bills, kid, started at...
Didn't see a minute of that one, my good man.
Just after 4. I said to Danny, so, like, what is your afternoon like? Hoodie and I are locked in, ready to watch football. Well, I've got to do pickup here. I got to do e-learning there. I got to make dinner. Boy, those days just don't resonate anymore.
Oh, well, the thing is that this is why we're here, to be able to fill Danny in and everybody else that is working and busy with family on what happened.
I love two games like that, don't you?
Yeah, I go to the Harry Tynowitz school of thought in this. He said it first. He said,
he has,
you know,
a school of thought?
Yeah, of course. He has many thoughts.
Oh, the quarterback closer.
No, the doubleheader from Monday night. No, the quarter, that's Foles, by the way. He was right about that. That's Nick Foles. He's the quarterback closer. No, the doubleheader on Mondays worked for me. Of course, it's a little bit different to have a NFL game in the middle of a Monday afternoon, but it worked for me to be able to see both games. And it just goes to show you, whether it's a 12 o'clock game, a 7 o'clock game, a 3:25 game, a game in the middle of the afternoon on a Monday, the Kansas City Chiefs will beat your ass. It doesn't matter exactly. It doesn't matter what time it is. Just say when and where, and they'll show up.
Oh, we have to beat you by running the football? Okay, we'll run it for 220-plus yards.
Yeah, sloppy track. Of course you're going to run the football. Not our coach, though, because that's not the strength of the team. No. Can't run the football because that's not aggressive enough, as we found out yesterday. So now think about this. Think it's the Bears and Bills in this spot, right? Mm-hmm. Sloppy track. Listen, it was raining cats and dogs out there yesterday. No. The ball would be in the air 50 times. But here is Andy Reid saying, it's raining out here. Listen, just be very careful with the passing plays. And Patrick Mahomes said, okay, I'll do that. And then he was totally fine with that, right? And then they ran the football right down the throats of the Bills and won the football game. That's smart.
How about the play where he went around the bottom of your TV screen, the left side,
sure,
going right to left, and he was trying to run for the first down. He reversed field, then quickly through the you know, reverse and on again and dove for the first down and probably had it, and they wouldn't even give Andy Reid a measurement. I never saw him that upset.
Yes, because he thought he was BS'd in that. I saw that. I liked how Mahomes gave it a second effort, though, as the Bills fell asleep defensively. He gave it, but 4th and inches.
I can't believe the Bills are that bad defensively. They looked awful.
Yeah, sloppy track. That's all right. Jeez. It's still a good football team, but it just shows you that Kansas City's better. You know, Kansas City makes a lot of teams look that way. Yeah, now, we have to give the Bills a little bit of a pass. Look who's on the other side. You have an Edwards-Helaire running the football for 161 yards. They ran it for 245 total yesterday.
Crazy.
But that's the measuring stick. This is why I enjoy watching those games, Cap, because as we focus in on the Bears so much, you want to see what it looks like when it's great. Not when it's good. Not when we roll the dice and say, yeah, this player is good and this unit's probably pretty good. when you look at the very top of the league, you find Kansas City there. And when you see the Chiefs, you're saying, well, I wish we had that. I wish the offense came that easy for the Bears. It does not. You talk about, we talked about balance yesterday, right? That's the best balance in the NFL, right?
No,
there.
No question.
Offense,
you need
and defense.
To run it down your throat, we could do that. Oh, Patrick needs to throw downfield. We could do that, too.
He had an easy day in the park, 21 for 26, 225 yards and two touchdowns. It just, it's easy for him. That's what happens when you draft well, you get quality free agents, plug-and-play guys in there, and you're able to win ball games. Middle of the day on a Monday, and just like it was nothing.
We got you.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
I mean, Patrick, it's raining out there. All right, we're good.
Every team, most teams in the NFL want to be like them. That's the pinnacle. That's what it looks like when it's great. And then the other side, you've got the night game. You got Big Red, the other Big Red, Andy Dalton. He's out there with the Dallas Cowboys. That was the easiest bet in Vegas. There's no way the Cowboys are going to win that game. That was an easy bet. Easy for me yesterday against an Arizona team. It's funny. Danny was saying earlier, he says, you know, I really like what the Cardinals do as far as, you know, Kyler Murray running in and out of the pocket. I said, that's nice, but that's not sustainable.
Mm-mm.
That guy's 5'0", 100-0, and he's out there, and he's, you know, he does some nice things. He had a couple of touchdowns yesterday, but there's a reason why the Arizona Cardinals won that ball game. 261 yards on the ground. Running the football.
Novel approach.
Yeah, interesting. I know it's not very aggressive around here, but it looks like for those two teams that won yesterday, it was just fine. Thank you.
So we heard Nick Foles after the game the other day. Here is Matt Nagy on how he feels about, we'll start with Nick Foles and the rather win ugly comment.
All right.
I saw it yesterday. I saw what Nick said about would you rather, what do you say, would you rather win ugly or lose pretty, you know? And I think that kind of sums it up there. But the best part of what he said, right, is that we all care. And we all got to do whatever we can to get this thing fixed. We're 5-1 right now, and we're not playing well offensively. So when we do get this thing up and running, which we will, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's the goal. We know, we understand where our warts are on offense, and we get that, and we're going to keep working on it. But we're going to continue to stay positive as we do this because of where we know we're at and where we're going.
Okay.
All right. So what about the other cut, though? What about the other thing he talks about regarding Montgomery? Because this is the theme, Cap, based on what we saw on Monday. There is a theme here when it comes to the running game. What about Montgomery in the running game?
David's doing a really good job. I mean, he runs hard now. I mean, you see some of those runs in there where he's breaking some tackles and getting extra yards and yards after contact. That's what he's always done. I love that about him. And then, yeah, in regards to just this, the schematics, the execution, we got to make sure that we do our job and handle all that stuff. And like I said, again, I'm going to go back to it. Being 5-1, it's a lot easier to try to fix. And we look at the scheme, we look at the players, we look at everything, we look at how we're practicing, we look at what we're teaching, all that stuff.
You know what? Let me tell you something, David Kaplan. Let me tell you something. We've been watching football for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're not some lemmings here that just fell off a truck. Been watching football for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when Nagy first got here, when it was suggested, hey, it's funny, in this offense, you're not running the football a lot. You know what Nagy's response was? Must be a bunch of fantasy football players in this room. What are you guys talking about, run the football? Yeah, we know what we're doing here. I'm not an idiot. I know we got to run the football more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the great Dan Pompey in The Athletic, theathletic.com, the Hall of Famer, he ponders this. I like his columns on Monday because they're just bullet points.
He's so good.
They're just random thoughts, right? There's a thoughts for you to ponder. It's not necessary for you to say, I disagree or agree. He's just giving you his back-of-the-envelope thoughts, right? Just writes them down and puts them in the column. He says, what does this say for David Montgomery, averaged 3.1 yards per carry against a defense that had been allowing 5.38 yards per carry? So the Panthers have allowed almost 5 yards per carry, but yet Montgomery had 3.1 yards per carry. Well, I'll say this. It's two things for me.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that it's very clear that Nagy's going to do it his way. We've already discovered that last couple of weeks. I said, hey, whatever he wants to do, that's fine because that's what he's comfortable with.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
But you don't, though. You don't, Matt, as you drive in from House Hall listening to this. This is you don't run the football. But see, it's one of two things. It's one, that Montgomery is not running the football well, and two, he doesn't want to run the football. I think that the Bears are not enamored, obviously, with the offensive line, but don't believe Montgomery is special enough to get that many touches. That's what I think. And I heard that a little bit last year, too.
But this was the guy he asked his GM to go up and get.
That's fine. But, yeah, but then what do you get from a production standpoint? You think David Montgomery's special?
No, I think he's a real solid back. I think he's a solid NFL football player. I do not believe he's special because he didn't have breakaway speed.
In Bears lore, where is he? See Jordan Howard?
He's better than Jordan Howard.
Is he better than Thomas Jones?
No.
Okay. We got to figure out, like he's not better than Neil.
Right.
Not Neil Anderson, right?
Neil Anderson was a beast.
Okay. He's not Cedric Benson.
He's better than Cedric Benson because Benson was unreliable.
Ooh. How about on the field? He was a beast, man.
He was. He was the fifth overall pick in the draft.
Better than Curtis Enos?
Yes.
All right. So we got to figure out where
better than Rashawn Salaam? Yes.
I'm not so sure. I got to look at numbers of that. I'm not so sure. But that's the reason. I'm asking you that question for a reason. We just talked about two games in which they ran the hell out of the football. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to keep the ball out of Kyler Murray's hands. He can't win the game for us. Even against the Cowboys' defense, it's bad.
Terrible.
Right? Okay,
terrible.
So, but they ran the football all over him, right? Mike Nolan with the different colored eyes, they ran all over him, right, that defense. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing in a rainy, sloppy track for Kansas City, ran the football, right? You mean the Bears can't run the football? Like, we could blame the offensive line all we want. We could say that, but even you said, hey, the offensive line seems to be improved. Then how come you don't run the football more? If you see the offensive line improved from last year, then why don't you run it?
See, and I thought...
That's just not who he is.
But I thought if you go back to the first three games of the season,
yeah,
they ran for $150, $128, $118.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's a fine. Jeff, is that a fine? You heard a little clearing there. A little fine?
No. That one actually was if we're going to be really harsh, sure. But I think we could. That one I might let him go.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So,
but you've been warned today.
What warning?
Exactly. Both benches have been warned.
Birdiesbookbank.org.
So I've got 150, 127, or 28, 117. Like, okay. Now, I get James Daniels a good part of that, and he's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me last week you couldn't run one stretch play?
Right.
Like, everything was between the tackles, and there was a couple of times where David Montgomery got the handoff, tried to attack the line, and if he just shows any vision and bounces it outside, he's got room to run. He never does that, or he bounces too late.
I think... As you say, the offensive line has gotten better, and I can see it too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Montgomery is just not Nagy's cup of tea. Say if there's someone else back there, maybe he's giving the football more. Now the one thing we got to also mention is that the short pass plays, that's just as good as a run in today's
Correct.
Football too.
Correct.
Now, you mean, and that's really Foles' MO. Like, he's good with the five and dime down the field, right? He's not going to extend plays down the field with the big arm. One play over 20 yards.
Yeah, he's a shot guy. That's it. It's not, hey, man, we better be really leery because he's at any time going to go downtown. He just doesn't do that.
This is not about whether or not you own a Montgomery jersey or you root for him because he wears blue and orange. It's really looking at the facts. Like, we're going to turn to Jeff here pretty soon because I need to talk to Mellor about Montgomery versus other running backs in the league. Like, we can blame the offensive line all we want, but is Montgomery special? Maybe Nagy looks at Montgomery's like, no.
You guys can – he may sit there absolutely and say
– I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
But guess what? Privately, he's saying our back isn't that good.
Just okay, Mellor. Just okay.
All right, we'll get to that thought. Phone lines are already lit up like a Christmas tree. 312-332-3776. This is a great debate. We're going to get into it.
You don't have to be special, but are you good enough to be able to run the football? And if you are not, why aren't you getting the ball?
All right. Be right back.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Hey.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Are just lit up. People want to talk. But the amazing thing is, Hoodie brought this up. It's a good organic topic. I think we're too hard on the coach.
All right.
I do. First of all, he's got a culture up there, which the players, Nick Foles said again the other day, I've been on a lot of teams. I haven't had a culture like this. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's a great room. A, he was 12-4 his first year coach of the year. He was 8-8 with really lousy quarterback play, an awful offensive line, no tight ends, no second receiver. They finished 8-8. It wasn't a good year. Now they're 5-1 mm-hmm. with okay quarterback play, okay. Not a great offensive line. Better, but not great. No run game whatsoever to speak of. Anthony Miller is on a milk carton. We're trying to do it with Allen Robinson, an older Jimmy Graham, Darnell Mooney in the fifth round.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, it's like Matt can't coach, Matt can't this, Matt can't that, but the dude keeps putting W's up.
Absolutely. But when you're in a big market, there's always expectations, and you continue to raise the bar with every victory.
Right.
No one's trying to push him out of town, especially now. No one's trying to push him out of town. But it's about expectations, man.
Uh-huh.
We don't look at the Bears like whether or not they're going to win the 4A championship.
Right.
That's not what it's about.
People want sustained winning success.
Nothing wrong with that.
I agree. I mean, if
people are putting a fire under Nagy's ass, it's because they see blood in the water. They want more. And you love that. I'd rather have it like this than talking about a team 1-5 going in the wrong direction.
Imagine having the Jets.
No, absolutely not. We'd be having draft experts on.
Right.
In freaking October.
Right. Do we take Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence?
No, I don't want to do that radio. But this all stems from just the one little liner on the back of the envelope, the little thought bubble from Dan Pompey, the Hall of Famer. What does it say that Montgomery averaged 3.1 yards per carry against a defense that had been allowing an average of 5.38 yards per carry? It's a salient question. And my thought is that either Nagy doesn't want to run the football, which is clearly something, as we can see from the numbers, or he doesn't think Montgomery is special enough to be able to carry his end. I just think if you have 11 guys, you want to be able to use all of them. Effectively.
Agreed.
In an offense that struggles. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm saying to you that Matt might grab his cup of coffee.
Yep.
Right here. And take a swig, sit there in an offensive coaches meeting and go, guys, I'm not going to tell this to the media on the Zoom. Our running game isn't that good because our running back's just not special. He's okay. Runs hard. Love him. Good kid. Catches the ball. Tries to block.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. Let's not confuse him here with Barry Sanders.
Maybe. That's the question. That's the question. I'm not casting aspersions to anyone, but I just like that question from Pompey.
All right, let's go to the phones. Jimmy Joe Pesci
of course.
Joins us. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing? Is Jonathan Hood there, man?
He's right here.
No, he's off today.
All right, yeah. You let me tell you something about yourself, bro. You need to show some respect, man. You have no respect towards the Bears. Most of the things that come out of your mouth is putting them down and expectations. Let me tell you something.
Oh, God forbid I have expectations for my favorite NFL team.
Forbid.
That makes a lot of sense.
You used to do the same thing with the Bulls, too, bro.
Yeah.
I used to listen to you at night sometimes,
yeah.
bro. And all you do is you see the glass half full, you're negative Nelly, and you say you never praise them. Yo, let me tell you something, John. Let me tell you something. You listening? We're 5-1, big boy. We're 5-1.
I think I've said that this morning.
You need to salute that. Regardless how we got there.
I think I've said that.
Bro.
What else you got? Hey, nothing.
fine.
Just want to yell. You've got nothing. Just want to yell. Those same points.
The same points you just made. No. Followed by negativity and prior to negativity. You may throw in a couple of bones, you know, to appease people like me, but overall, bro, overall, you're just negative, man.
Okay. All right, so what are you going to do about
it? Why don't you salute them? We're 5-1.
They're not soldiers. I'm not saluting the Bears. We appreciate your phone call. We appreciate your phone call. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not. Here's the thing. I will always have expectations for the teams that I root for, the teams that I follow. If it doesn't, is that your cup of tea? I couldn't care less. If you're offended, please be offended. It's 2020. Everyone's offended.
All right, Hoodie, my guy.
They're 5-1, big boy.
Yeah, did I not say that in the first segment? They're 5-1. I'd rather be 5-1 than 1-5. Here's the thing. If you're offended by what I say, be offended. I didn't wake up this morning and say, boy, I hope that Jimmy Joe Pesci is happy with my commentary. Be offended, please.
Speak from right there, man. That's what you always do. Yeah, right there.
Just it's expectations. That's all it is. Well, I know what it looks like when is a championship team in this town.
It's fun.
I know what it looks like. Okay. What if you want to just get up and just start yelling? Fine. I'm here.
Let's go back to the phones and talk to Harding, our guy Harding. He calls all the time. Harding, what's up, man?
So here's my thing. And I'm wondering if I'm going through like a Stockholm Syndrome type thing with the Bears, but when we discuss Matt Nagy and his desperation of offense here and the lack of success, if he has even a level of success that we expect and want, are we looking at a team that should be going undefeated? Like, is our expectation a little bit too high? Because you look at his current record and his offense is horrendous, right? But this defense is really, really, really good. So with the current record and the team that's constructed right now, if we had the offense we wanted, I think we're like, wait, we should have damn near an undefeated team. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be a little unfair to Matt Nagy. Yes, he is struggling tremendously. And, yes, we want to see a team improve every single day, no doubt about it, right? But are we expecting a little bit too much? I would want to hear that from you guys.
Are we expecting too much from the Bears offense? Well,
Thanks, Harding.
I would just say this, that when we take a look at everyone else around the National Football League that have a winning record, I expect for the Bears to be able to raise the bar and be better than what they have been. Look, here's what we look at with Nick Foles. When Nick Foles took over, I didn't expect him to set the world on fire because that's not who he is.
He's never been that guy except one season.
But I expect for the Bears to be able to have more weapons than Robinson on a regular basis. Mooney's a weapon, but I want those guys to get into the end zone. Graham has been a pleasant surprise mm-hmm. for a guy that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, washed up. Looks like he's turned the clock back to the Seattle years.
He's got 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, so, I mean, my expectations should always be the highest. And all I ever wanted was balance for our Bears team. Defense and offense, I just wanted to be balanced. Those are the teams that increase their chances to win every single year. Kansas City is one of those teams that has great balance.
And we saw it last night.
Mm-hmm.
You want us to do what? We have a Hall of Fame. Oh, okay, we need to run. Okay, we'll run.
Man, it's
240-some yards if you count the quarterback.
It's great.
312-332-3776. Gary is in Bourbonnais. Gary's next. Hey, Gary.
How's it going, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Gary.
Sup, dude?
Got one question, one statement, all right? First question, who pissed in that guy's Cheerios? Good Lord, it is way too early for that.
Oh, it's okay, and, Gary. Listen, you know.
He's got big shoulders.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say a lot of things, and Cap's going to say a lot of things that's going to offend people. Our stance on the show is be offended.
Right. And I just want to say, man, like, I love this Bears team. I love the 5-1 start. I'm gonna ride this wave as long as they're coming. I'm gonna be surfing on the waves, man. But I hate to be pessimistic. This is probably the worst 5-1 team, and there's no doubt that there's gaping holes all over this team. And I just hope they can address it and make a playoff run. And that's all I have, guys. Have a good day. I can't wait to listen to the show.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you.
Worst 5-1 team. What do you think?
I mean, I don't have a photographic recall of all the 5-1 teams over the last 20 years.
Okay, Albert Breer. But how about just this year?
I mean, they're a 5-1 football team that gives me pause because if I get beat, like I was told by somebody up there, we can't blitz as much as Chuck would like to. Like, Pagano gets grief for not blitzing enough. And they said, if we blitz and somebody picks up the blitz, which can happen, they get paid too, and he goes downtown and they burn us for a 60-yard touchdown, we're not sure our offense can cover up mistakes that the defense might make through aggressiveness. That's why you don't see as much blitzing until they know we gave up 14 points on two fluky long touchdowns. Our offense will get them back for us. They're not convinced that can happen.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, that's the kind of it's kind of your feeling as a Bears fan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know the defense will get turnovers. Hopefully they can score while they got that turnover.
Right.
But Cap, I mean, this is kind of the thing. Like, yeah, they don't have to blitz, but because the last couple of games without having a ton of blitzing, you've been able to see Matt get home.
Mm-hmm.
Matt to be able to see Akeem Hicks get home.
Quinn's getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Put the pressure on.
All 22 will be out later today. When you watch it, and yes, he has the password.
Yes.
So when you watch it, you'll see Robert Quinn. You'll be more impressed than you thought you would be.
Yeah. It's just right. From the pressure alone, right?
Every line lit. We'll get back to all your Bears calls. 312-332-3776. Roll it through them. Come ready to play. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So Dez Bryant went on Twitter during the game as the Cowboys were just getting eviscerated.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he tweeted. I remember whenever Chicago came to Dallas and smashed us. I'm talking about they beat the brakes off of us. 2012 or 2013. Peanut Tillman had a day on us. That's how I feel watching this game. Advice from this, correct the mistakes and move on from this game with a fresh mind.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I'm glad he went down.
You remember that game when the Bears did that?
Bears going down Bears memory lane. Very few. That's a good one, though.
Is that the game where Peanut forced like four fumbles or something?
I believe so. The Peanut punch was potent.
Full-throated punch that day. Yeah. Holy smokes. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Bob in LaGrange. Hey, Bob. What's up, Sparky?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob. Thanks
How you doing, man?
First of all, the rookie from LSU is three times better than Montgomery, period, if you know talent.
Yes, he is.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's get that straight. He's only 5'10". Nobody mentions about how fast he runs or whatever. He just go through the hole and get busy.
He's 5'10 on a milk crate.
Yeah, 162 as a rookie.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal, okay? Now, stop disrespecting Donnell Mooney. He's out of Tulane, same place Matt Forte is from. He can straight up catch the ball. He may be the best receiver on the Bears. Hands-wise. He don't drop anything. Forget he's a fifth round. So what? He can catch the ball and has speed. So maybe don't want to sign him and give him a lot of money, but he's the real deal.
Who's disrespecting Darnell Mooney?
Nobody.
He's not fifth round. So what? He can catch the ball. Is he the second receiver? He's better than Miller, period, in the conversation.
I think that, too.
Okay, so now, the best receivers come out the South. Damar Chase out of LSU didn't play this year.
Mm-hmm.
The boy Marshall is just as good. Jefferson over at Green Bay. How you Minnesota. Miss all the guys out of LSU? Come on.
We'll have Coach Orgeron will be in the studio later. We'll ask him, okay?
Right. Leonard Fournette. One more. Leonard Fournette, 2,076 yards in 3 years. 76 catches out of the backfield. 25 years old. Married man. Don't have any history of being violent. Oh, we don't know if we should get it. Tampa Bay said, come with us, guy. Mm-hmm. And then Le'Veon Bell, the last guy. Well, Kansas City, the world champs. Come on, Le'Veon. The Bears, I like our backs. I don't know if we want to go with this guy. Forget all that crap about who's nice. Get the ball player that can play.
I got you.
Thanks, Bob.
That's good
appreciate
stuff, Bob.
You.
That's all right.
He brought his A game.
I like that.
Bob, call again, man.
That's good stuff.
That was
right
really
there.
Good. Let's go to Vince on the north side. Hey, Vince.
Good morning, boys.
Hey, Vince. Good morning.
All right. So I know we're talking a lot about expectations, all right? And we got four more games until we go into the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And three of those four games are against legitimate opponents, right? We got the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans all in a row, and then the Vikings. I want to know what you guys expect from those four games and what record would you be happy with going into the bye week. Because then we come back, and then we're at Lambeau.
Yeah, see, now I don't know how Hoodie's going to answer this. Appreciate your call. I don't look four games down the road. I just worry about find a way to beat the Rams and get to 6-1. Because if you start thinking, well, we've got to be 2-2 out of these four, love to be 3-1, but oh God, what if we're 0? You can't worry about, oh man, if we lose to the Rams, then we got the Saints. And what if the Saints just beat the brakes off us and are really, we're down, and the next thing you know, we got to play the Vikings and they're going to. I just go one game at a time.
Yeah. Listen, he asked a question, so I'm going to give him an answer. So just based on the ebb and flow of the season so far, I would say that it's likely the Bears can beat the Vikings as a tough Titans team, especially the running game with Henry on the road.
And that's there, right?
Yeah, it's there. It's in Nashville with fans. The Saints, you know, the Saints is the wild card for me on November 1st. I don't know what to expect there in that game. I don't know what to expect. I'm not sure about that game just as of yet. The Rams, it seems winnable, but you never know. It's a 5:15 start out there, Pacific time, Monday Night Football. I think it's likely, because I watched that Rams game on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I think it's likely, but you never know. It feels like 3-1, but I'm not sure at all about the Saints game just as of yet.
I watched the interview yesterday. Michael Strahan sitting like in a theater room interviewing Patrick Mahomes on the screen, and he said, do you like playing on Monday nights? Because a lot of players said it disrupts their routine. He said, man, I'd play on Monday night every week if I could. I love being on this stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting perspective. You tell me when it is and let's go.
Not like he loves being on that stage.
He does.
You love guys like that.
Yep, he's a winner. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Rob on the east side. Hey, Rob, what's up, man?
Hey, I was wondering what you guys think about this. Because we put a lot of emphasis on Nagy. Nagy was somebody's choice. And I'm wondering if you think maybe front office ownership, I think they may carry a little more blame than Nagy because they picked Nagy. And if you go back throughout history, a lot of the Bears' choices have not been in their best interest. If you think about Mark Trestman, they picked Mark Trestman instead of maybe going after Bill Cowher. You know what I mean?
Somebody Bill Cowher was never – they made a call to him. He was never coming back, and he never has. So Bill Cowher was off the table.
So, okay, and then we go down to the quarterbacks maybe. You pass up on Mahomes and Watson for Trubisky, who didn't even have half of their resume. I mean, and you give it to Nagy, and you expect him to make a miracle out of this. You know what I mean?
That's what coaches are supposed to do. Not a miracle, but you're supposed to make him a viable quarterback for sure, Rob. So you're saying that the decision makers, the general managers, and it's been very few for the Bears, by the way, you think that that's the problem with the Bears, right?
I think it's ownership, just like with the Bulls. I mean, they're not committed to having a winning team. I think they're trying to maximize profit. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, if that's the case,
Thanks, Rob.
We got to stop watching then. If it's only the bottom line, then we need to stop watching the games. And I'll never stop watching the games.
Me either. But do you believe, like, the Bulls just spent, in the face of a pandemic, a fortune to clean everything out. Now, a lot of people, rightly so, would say it took too long. But if the point is, it got done.
Yeah. Well, see, the Rob is a lot like a lot of guys at the lounges on the South Side that I've hung with. Like, they know, they've seen Chicago sports for a long time. Mm-hmm. And whatever the perception is, that's the reality. It doesn't matter what today's headlines are. I know the Bears won't spend money. I know the Bulls and the Cubs won't spend money. But then when you show them facts like, well, wait, look at the Cubs and this payroll. Look at what the White Sox spent. Look at the Bulls got the best coach that's available. They don't want to hear that.
Correct.
They just go by what they've always known.
Because it destroys the narrative.
Yeah, well, it's the 1985, 1984 sports pages.
Correct.
that's
their script.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because that's what it's always been. That's what, and Cap, you know, you're not going to get a lot of people off of that. Until they see multiple championships other than the Blackhawks, they'll always say it's because of money, even though a lot more times than not, that's not true.
Right. Tampa's playing in the World Series tonight.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. More of your calls. We're talking Bears here on ESPN 1000. Take that.
Take that.
David Kaplan
Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Follow us on the gram. Follow us on Twitter, Cap J Hood. And watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Don't forget Carmen Yurk at 10, Greeny at noon.
Wow.
And Sylvie at 2 o'clock. Black and Abdallah coming up at 6 o'clock.
All right. Nice job.
There you go. By the way, I do think, this is not a shot at them, that the two dudes from Libertyville last night, I think Black does not want to make a trade to go get an offensive lineman. Like, he wants to stand pat and hang on to the draft capital, and I understand the perspective, but we got to get into that because tomorrow's promise to no one.
Right.
You're 5-1. Go out and make a trade and get an offensive lineman to fix this damn running game.
All right, I had the bell ready, but I guess you're okay.
There you go. Okay. Right. How about we go to London?
Ah, beautiful London.
London, England. George, what's up, bud?
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope my phone's actually working today.
Got it.
Yeah, David Montgomery. I'm afraid that when you just look at stats and you try and make an evaluation of a running back, you're doing yourself a disservice. Not the running back. The running back's doing the job that they're doing. When we run from gun, he's 5 yards back. He's waiting for the mesh point. He's waiting a second and a half before he gets the ball in his belly. You can bet your bottom dollars the linebackers are not waiting a second and a half. They're reading the guard. They're firing the gap. So he's getting the ball from a standstill, running towards the line of scrimmage. Rashard Coward missed his block. Leno can't block to his right at all, and he's running into a crowd of people, making them miss and getting back to the line of scrimmage. It looks like no yards on the play. He's actually made 5 because he's been hit in the backfield. When we run where we have a numerical advantage, and we run from under the centre, it makes it much easier to run. It's that simple. I'm going to put a video out on my YouTube channel later showing you all, because I'm sick of people saying this, that, and the other about the run. It's this simple. When you run, you've got 4 blockers, and they've got 6 defenders, it's difficult to get positive yards there. When you've got the numerical advantage, it's much easier. It really is that simple. Guys are going to miss blocks every now and again, and the running back is expected to make at least 1 miss. Mm-hmm. He does that in spades, and he gets extra yards every single time he has the ball in his hands. So stop just using stats to support your own argument. Look at the tape, look objectively, and try and formulate an opinion which is based upon some evidence.
Appreciate you, George. Have a good day.
Love you, guys. Bear down.
Bear down. See you.
153 in beautiful London.
We are the number one afternoon show for sports in London.
Absolutely, in the UK.
There you go.
BTS.
All right, up. Back to the phones. Mike's in Orland Park. Hey, Mike.
Hey, yeah, it's just the last caller was great. You know, I just wanted to speak a little bit on Montgomery as well. You know, I guess I want to understand what we need to see from this kid to understand that he may be, you know, if he's not the running back we should have, or if he's got something there, like the line or the play calling, that's, you know, causing him not to be as successful as we want him to be. You know, I mean, there's got to be a reason they didn't go after Le'Veon Bell or Leonard Fournette. But then, you know, early on when they're giving the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson as much as they were, you know, that makes me feel the same way, that they just don't believe in Montgomery either. So just, you know, that was my main call early on, and I just wanted to speak a little bit more on what he has to do to prove that he is running back, or to prove that he's not the running back.
I guess for me, and appreciate your call, I feel like he's got to stack some games on top of one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting Walter Payton.
Right.
But I am expecting when you get 19 carries, you should do better than 58 yards.
Yeah. But I like the way Pompey left it open-ended. When he says, what does it say that Montgomery averaged 3.1 yards per carry against a defense that allows 5? Now he left it open. He didn't say,
right,
blame the offensive line, blame Montgomery. He just says, well, what does that mean?
Right. Like, we need to watch the tape and look, dig deeper.
Shouldn't Montgomery be averaging what the Panthers surrender?
If he's a solid back, yes.
See? So, Jeff, I'll ask you, like, as someone that pours through the numbers, right, when you take a look at the best of the best, See if you can grab your boom mic from the ceiling. It's great. He pulled it like the old school. He brought his mic down, like at Madison Square Garden, like at the boxing matches.
We need to have a crew with like one of those mics that stand out there.
So where is Montgomery amongst the best?
It's interesting because I think George made some interesting points, but I do think he is average. And that doesn't mean that he can't be a productive player.
Because what makes him average? Lack of speed? What is the one that makes him average?
So when I say average, like I have 17 running backs I would rather have in the league above him pretty definitively. And then there's another, I'd say, 4 to 6 that I could probably make an argument that I'd rather have them, but I can't. But like, if you wanted Montgomery over these guys, I could understand that. So he can be a productive runner. He, like George said, he does have the ability to make guys miss. And I think if he's in a better system, he would be more productive. But he's not special. And I think that's, you know, if he were at this point, I think we would have seen it in a year and a half of him being the starting running back for the Bears. We would have seen more splash plays from him to define that he's a special running back. He's not special. But right. There's only 5 to 10 running backs in the game.
Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire special, or is he running behind a great offensive line with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a bunch of receivers?
Way too early to say he's special.
I guess the ultimate question, though, Jeff, is if Nagy had one of those top 10 that's on your list.
Mm-hmm. Like if Ezekiel Elliott was here.
Would he utilize him?
I would think so.
In the short passing game or running the football? This offense.
I would think if Elliott was here, you would be more, it would be more of a priority to get him the ball.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think if you had somebody who was a little more explosive on their runs, it would be more of a priority to get him the ball. The problem is, like, listen, you know, what was it, 59 yards on Sunday? It's hard to say I want to keep going back to a guy. Like, and again, a lot of it's on the offensive line and maybe some of the play calling as well. But when your running back doesn't give you a bunch of explosive running plays, you're like, there's less reason to keep giving it to him.
I keep giving the ball to Hoodie and he keeps getting 2 yards. Well,
Hoodie can't use me.
Makes somebody miss and he gains 9. That look good. Let's do that again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pompey also said this.
I'd rather run Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah. Yes. Or pass it, like most teams in the NFL. Pompey also says this: if the defensive line went against the Bears' offensive line in earnest, the mercy rule would be in effect.
Probably right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but as I watched all of it last night, Arizona multiple times, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, they're not running the football; they are passing the football. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs threw on 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2. Not as much because they ran so successfully. Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott. They're throwing on 3rd and short. 3-1-2, 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
We go around the NFL in 2 minutes with the great Albert Breer next.